Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains EPL Podcast. I am your host, Dano, and I actually have a co-host for a change for this one, and it's none other than the OG Supercoach Co-Captain, my guy, Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. It has been a little while. Haven't been on the webs for a while with you since the AFL season finished, but yeah, excited to jump in on an EPL Supercoach episode with you and help with some of your pronunciations because they're pretty funny to listen to.
Yeah, no, they're fucked up. Anyway, so we'll start off with the fact that for once you're like, no, I'm not going to do the podcast for something, and then I'm doing EPL Supercoach on my own, and you're ranked number 2 in the entire fucking competition. 3 points behind number 1.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Is that the secret, just to fuck off with the podcast and just do your own thing, not worry about it?
Well, it's funny because we've been doing the AFL podcast for a few years now, and I always feel like I'm giving advice that I don't follow myself. And then I see listeners do well off my advice, or things that I say will happen, end up happening, whether it's a captain that goes off and I've, you know, captained someone else or whatever. And, you know, my team just gets lamented into fucking nothing. But it's also, I've just been so busy with, you know, parenting and work and everything like that. Like, I don't spend a whole lot of time researching much. Like, I always check football scores. It's always something I've done since following probably a good 10, 15 years now of the EPL. And, yeah, just having the knowledge of the league and the players and following Supercoach principles. And like, what helped was I had a really good starting team and I didn't start Verts. And yeah, that's helped.
Chuck that out there.
Oh, I had to. That's helped. It's so crucial to have that good starting team. Like, I haven't used a boost. And before trades, I've got 33 trades still, which just allows me to jump on those low break-even guys, sit them on my bench, or target someone that has a really good run of, you know, 5-6 game weeks and, just ride the high scores.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I'm sitting on 35 trades and 4 boosts at the moment.
You got more trades than me then.
Yeah, I know, but I'm doing shit, so I'm not sure what exactly I'm going to be doing here. But mine's been like fucking bench guys popping off. Defense has really let me down. Having, like, for example, Lenny Yoro, I've held him the entire time, and I'm like, fuck you, I'm going to finally put you on the bench, and then he gets a 10. And then I've got Rodon on field for a 3, and then the week before he got like 11 and I had him on the bench. It's just been, it's kind of like rookie roulette, but with defenders for me, and it's shit times. Also, the Cole Palmer situation as well, like we've got a bit more word. We'll start off with these injuries as a little bit of a segue. So Cole Palmer's looking out until November, Paddo, and starting him hurt. You started him as well, but you got off pretty quick.
I did get tied up in Cole Palmer. I held him for hit that first injury, and then I think I captained him the game that he actually scored in. He came off the bench. I was quite nervous because he was my captain, he was my VC, and he ended up scoring off the bench. And obviously, I took that score, but I did trade him out after that just because the European competition started, and obviously he's going to play most Champions League games, and like as soon as you hear something like a niggling groin injury that he's been dealing with for months, and his form actually was pretty poor at the back end of last season. He had a good Club World Cup after obviously a few weeks off before that, but yeah, I did jump off. I am a Chelsea fan myself, so that did hurt, but there's no room for loyalty in fantasy sports.
That'd be true. We've got another injury as well. So Ollie Watkins basically has left the England national team camp with injury. I'm not sure exactly sure what the injury is, though, Paddo. And then another one that we've got is, after some examinations, it's basically been revealed that Ødegaard has a tear in the lateral ligament and is not a complete tear, so it makes it a bit less severe and doesn't require surgery, but he's going to be sidelined for at least 2 months. But that's probably good for... Now, am I pronouncing it right? Is it easy?
No, it's Eze.
Eze. Fuck me, dead. Anyway, so that should probably be good for him, you'd think.
Yeah, yeah. See, oh yeah, when good players in good positions like Ødegaard, like Cole Palmer go down, you always think, all right, who's the next guy, especially from good teams like Arsenal. And Eze is more of a left winger, but he can certainly play in that attacking mid spot. I look at Zubimendi as well. I know his average is a little bit inflated because he scored that brace a few game weeks ago, but he's someone that could certainly play a bit more of an advanced role and possibly benefit from that. I believe... what's his name? I should know because he was a Chelsea player. Noni Madueke, he's also out injured. So Saka's pretty locked in at that right wing spot. Trossard, you know, can play on the left and Eze can play through the center in behind Gyökeres. But I feel like Arsenal is a team that you target, but more of their defense. I think they're the best defense in the league. So I think you need one definitely, but if not two Arsenal assets. Whether that's Raya as a goalkeeper, I've got Gabriel because he has really high goal threat as well, but there's definitely room for a Gabriel plus another Arsenal defender as well, I think.
Yeah, okay. I've got Calafiori because, you know, got sucked in early. Finally did something good for me.
I actually rode him for 3 weeks. So I brought him in because of his low break even. I didn't love his scoring potential, so I fucked him off as soon as his break even was higher. And I've been sort of, there's a couple of guys that I've kind of rid like that. Like this week, I'm bringing in Van Heek, not to be on field, but just to sit on my bench at 4.6 mil with a break even of negative 12.
Okay. So for those playing at home, Van Heek is a Brighton player.
Yes.
Van Heek and good. So yeah, so he's got negative 12 break even, projected price change of 1.4 mil. Yep.
My thinking is, like, his run in the next 2 weeks actually isn't good.
Yeah, he's got your Newcastle. Man, you could do anything, though.
Yeah, and then Leeds. Like, it could be a three-week ride, and then I fuck him off, depending on how he goes. Right. He's sitting on my bench. So last week, I actually brought in Thiago on a similar sort of thinking. He had a break-even of, where is it? Whatever it was last week. It was in the negatives for sure. But he played Man City, and I didn't bring him in for that Man City game. He sat on my bench. I've got him this week for West Ham. He'll be on my field. Then he's got Liverpool. But I'm taking the 2-3 mil, whatever he'll make, and running. And he may end up just being a third forward on my bench, still making money. But, you know, he's nailed on. Brentford striker, he's on penalties. I think he's a really great option. 8 million is a little bit inflated now, but I got him in at 7, whatever he was last week.
What about... So, for people that have... Now, is it Pape Matar-Sarr?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you be doing with him at the moment?
Well, Xavi Simons actually played as that attacking mid last game week. So, I would be getting rid of Sarr.
And who would you...
Even though Simons only got 3, like, I have Simons in my team. I took a risk and brought him in last week because it was rumoured that he would be playing in that number 10 role as an attacking mid. He actually should have had a couple of assists. He laid a couple of peach balls for attacking players and they just fucked it up. So I would be absolutely getting rid of Sarr.
And you would say Simons for this, you reckon?
I like Simons, yeah. He's 5.6 mil. I think it's still a really great price.
He's gone down. Yeah, what the fuck? He's gone down.
Yeah, he's got a break even of 9, which obviously isn't fantastic. But sorry to say, Dano, but he's playing in Aston Villa this weekend that do not look good at all this year.
Yeah, they look fucking shit.
So he could have a bit of a haul this week and all of a sudden his break even will balloon. And I'm fairly sure, I need to just make sure. Yeah, he's got a pretty good run coming up as well. Aston Villa, Everton, Chelsea, the very leaky Chelsea at the moment. It gets tough after that, Man United, Arsenal. Then he's got Fulham. So I mean, he could end up being a keeper and just rotate on field with whoever your other sort of M5, M6, rotate with a Grealish or Reinders or someone like that.
Yep. Now, who do you think are the must-haves? So, like, you went and brought in Semenyo and you timed that to fucking perfection.
Semenyo is absolutely a must-have, I think, even still. He's 13 million, which is really high. Got a negative 8 break-even. But he's been so fucking good this season. Crystal Palace is actually a tough matchup. Their defense is one of the better defenses in the league so far this season. Then he's got Nottingham Forest. That should be a nice, juicy haul there. Then Man City, not great, obviously, but then it really opens up Aston Villa, West Ham, Sunderland, and Everton. So I think even at his price, he's still a bit of a must-have. He just really suits their system. I'd be weary of their manager getting poached, though, by one of the bigger clubs, which I feel like he is the next manager to get poached by a big club, whether that's Man United, even though they're saying they... Anyway, I'm back. Yeah. I'm getting way off topic. I think Gabriel's must-have from Arsenal, 11.7 million, but a negative 5 break-even, and Fulham this week. Arsenal are almost getting clean sheets every week, so there's just 3 points there, basically. Then he's got Palace, then he's got Burnley, then Sunderland, then Tottenham, Chelsea are pretty tough, and then Brentford, Aston Villa, Wolves, Everton again. Like, yeah, Arsenal, brilliant to have. I really like Senesi as well. He's a bit on the more expensive side now, but again, that Bournemouth defense is looking pretty good. I would also look at your Crystal Palace defenders. Obviously, you can't fit everyone in.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get Semenyo in, and I can't bring in anyone else that I want.
The thing that makes Supercoach EPL really tricky when you compare it to FPL is the amount of forwards that are in the game. Like, I actually agree with a lot of the forwards, because if you play as a right winger or a left winger, like a Semenyo, like a Phil Foden, like a, Bukayo Saka, like those sort of guys, like they should be forwards, because Mo Salah as well is another one. Like they're attackers. They shouldn't be midfielders like they are in FPL. So it opens up the midfield position, like really interestingly. Yeah, I don't really know where I was going with that. But three spots is really difficult to fill. I'm sort of treating it as Haaland is a keeper. He's just a fucking machine. I almost think Semenyo's a keeper now as well. He's in just 9% of teams, which is kind of crazy, but I do also get it. It's really tough to get to that price point now, especially if you've got like a Verts. He's a midfielder, isn't he?
I've been saying about Voltermade. He's a jet.
He is, but their other striker that they signed, and again, I've gone blank on his fucking name, Johan Visser. Like, he's due back soon. And I just don't know who the first choice is going to be.
Oh, Walty. Definitely. Pardon? At the moment, he's scoring for his country. He's scoring for them. Like, yeah, I reckon he will be the first choice. He just looks so good.
Yeah. Another one I really like is Ismail Assar. Break even of 0. Bournemouth this week, Arsenal next week, and then Brentford. Then Brighton, then Wolves, then United, then Burnley, then Fulham. So really decent run for Crystal Palace. Again, a little bit of a red flag there of European football. Like how much rotation they really going to do. Like their squad doesn't go very deep.
Yeah, he is.
Who else? I don't think now is a horrible time to jump on João Pedro. And I know people are probably burnt by him because he hasn't been great since Cole Palmer went down. They play really well together. Yeah, those 3 weeks where he had really good scores, but 4 really shit scores outside of that. But Chelsea's upcoming run is really, really good. So they've got Nottingham Forest, Sunderland, Tottenham, Wolves, and Burnley in the next 5. So that's really, really good. He's had a rest as well, which I think is really important with him. He was absolutely gassed. He came out in public and said, like, I asked for a rest and I didn't get it, and he played that week. He's now had the international break off. He didn't go play for Brazil. So I think he'll be really fresh and will really benefit from that. And I think is a pretty decent price point as well.
One of the ones that I was eyeing off in the preseason, and then he just did not get any starting minutes. And again, this is Aston Villa bias, is Danielle Marlon. What do you think about him? Because he's listed as a forward. He's $4,760,000. And he got that 21 last week.
What's his break even?
His break, I'll say he played 84 minutes, got the 21, and his break even is -9.
It's hard because I'd want to see, first of all, how long Watkins is out for, if he is at all, or whether he just came back early because of fatigue, or Aston Villa said, hey, just say you're injured to come back early. But I wouldn't if Watkins is fine, honestly.
Yeah, the problem with this is they've got Tottenham, then Man City, then Liverpool, then Bournemouth in the next.
Oh, fuck no. No, don't jump on that then. No, gross. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
If you want some cheapy options that I really, really like.
Yes, please.
So Dominic Calvert-Lewin is 6.9 mil. I know that's not super cheap, but he's in 200 teams at 0.4%. Plays for Leeds. Next three are Burnley, West Ham and Brighton, who have all been leaking pretty high amounts of goals. And then he's got Forest, and then he's got Aston Villa. So that's a nice little five-week run there, and huge POD categories there.
Yeah.
I also don't mind Pedro Neto, who is in 1% of teams. I know he's a winger and they can be a little bit more inconsistent. However, again, that run, that same run, obviously, that João Pedro has, Neto also has from Chelsea. Really, like, he won't get your big bags of goals, but he is a solid pick. But you're wasting a forward spot there on him, so that's maybe not totally ideal. Who else have we got? I'm just scrolling down here.
Any budget mids or mids or defenders,
like budget?
Yeah, let's talk budget. Let's talk just, under 5 mil.
Just defense and mid.
Yeah, because forwards are a little bit
under 5 mil. Okay,
or even under 6 mil.
I've just done 5. So
what about this? Is weird. What about Mason Mount?
No, his goal involvement isn't enough for my liking. I actually, this is going to sound a bit nuffy of me. I don't mind Josh Achapong as an option. Chelsea defenders are really, really injured at the moment. And he is just a kid. So he's not going to play week in, week out. And the problem is with a lot of games coming basically for the rest of the year now, there's one more international break in November. But other than that, it's all business. Like, cups are happening, Europe's happening, Premier League's happening. He's not going to be able to play once or twice a week. Like full games. Let's see. Yeah, no. Mason Mount's a no from me. Van Heck I like as a cash grab. I wouldn't be starting him this week against Newcastle, but I like him as a bench. Just sit him on there. If he needs to come on, he needs to come on. That's fine. But sit him on your bench, I think, is really good. There's not a lot left on top of that. What's Burnley's fixtures like? Leeds, Wolves, Arsenal, no good.
So Esteve is out of the question there. Fucking hell, he got actually -14 against Man City.
Yeah, he was on my bench. So I was lucky to avoid that one. That's who I'm turning into, Van Heck, by the way.
Yeah, well, he's got a break even of 21, Esteve.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so you almost have to jump off. Luke Shaw is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
At under 4 million. He's got Liverpool this week with a break even of 2. He's not going to get your goal involvements at all. And he's actually had 2 scores in the negative, which obviously isn't good. That would just be from them conceding lots of goals. But the run after that isn't too bad. Brighton, Nottingham, Tottenham, it's a bit mid, so maybe not a great option. There's not a lot in that price range.
I mean, okay, here's a weird and wacky thought. So we got another week's worth of data, but if Ange Postecoglou gets the sack, because it sounds like he might be getting the sack already.
Surely not.
Apparently he might be. What about this Acuña?
Who?
He's played one game against Newcastle. He got a 5 in 90 minutes. 3.8 mil, pretty much.
What, who is that?
Defender. His first game starting.
Oh, defender. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, Cunha. I've never heard of that guy, so.
Neither have I. He only just popped up then, and I was like, ooh. But he's got Chelsea, Bournemouth, Man U. But let's say.
And he's got two games before his price moves.
That's what I mean. So you could afford to wait a week, maybe. But yeah, I'm just thinking of like real budgety kind of guys for your bench. There's no one else like Lewis Dunk for Brighton.
Yeah, he transferred from the Brazilian league. He's 20 years old, so I really would not trust that. Like he might just be their starter. Ange has rotated a lot of guys through different positions in his few games in charge, just trying to find what fits. Their backup striker has actually been cooking for them in cups. He had a hat trick in like a crazy amount of time. I can't even remember his name, but he's a Brazilian as well. Igor Jesus.
He's
3.5 mil and could like take over.
Yeah.
Wood's position, which is crazy because of how good Wood was last season, but Wood's just not an Ange striker, which is kind of ironic because Ange is Australian and Wood's from New Zealand. But Jesus is just a bit more mobile and what Ange is looking for. So he could become the first choice striker, and at 3.5 mil, that's pretty crazy. But you'd want to see some evidence first.
You want to see him start.
Yeah, exactly.
Starting in the cup games and shit, and he got like a brace in one game and should have really had a hat trick.
I thought he did have a hat trick.
No, he almost scored three in one of the games. He should have, though, really. I don't think there's any other real budgety type guys. Fuck me. Trying to fit Semenyo into my team is too hard.
Yeah, I mean, unless you just try and jump on someone that's cheap that might go on a bit of a run and make you some money, but I wouldn't sell the farm to try and get him in. Like, I'd maybe use a boost, and that could be worth it.
That's what maybe. I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to get a decent defender, Xavi Simons and Semenyo in, and it's just too hard. Although, no.
Do you have Grealish?
Yeah, I do.
Would you trade him?
No.
He's not available to play this week.
Ah, fuck me, dead.
Because he's playing against his club, yeah. And that's an English rule. Dewsbury Hall is also out because of his suspension still.
But what I'd do there then is I'd get Xavi Simons and put him on the field and then put Grealish on the bench.
Yeah, so I've currently got Grealish.
Then I might go 3-4-3.
Mm. Well, I've gone a 4-3-3 this week because I've got Grealish and Dewsbury Hall that I'm holding. I mean, maybe you just can't afford Semenyo. He's going to be 15 mil soon. Which hurts.
Well, I just don't get in that really good defender that I wanted to get in.
Yeah, skimp out in your defense to get him. Like, he's only 9% of teams, Semenyo.
It'd leave me with $3,760,000 if I get Xavi Simons.
The other thing you do is you fade Semenyo and just, like, back in the fact that he's maybe just in a purple patch and it'll dry off. Because Mo Salah's $4 million less.
Yeah, no, but Salah looks like shit.
Yeah, he does. Jumped off him pretty quickly as well.
I mean, Semenyo has scored a 3 and a 5 this season, but then his other scores are 23, 10, 24, 15, 29. So,
yeah. Like,
and I want to be there for the Nottingham Forest game because you know he's going to fucking pop off.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, no, he will. He will. Oh,
why don't you just jump on Thiago instead from Brentford?
Nah. It's 5 too, million too late. It's too late. You need what do you mean? When he was bargain basement.
It's negative 3 break even, plays West Ham this week.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm looking at this all wrong. Maybe I need to bring in the guy in my midfield that I've been saying that I've wanted the whole time and I keep skimping out on. That is Jared Bowen.
Yeah, I mean, he did score in their last game, didn't he?
No, he did not.
Must have been the one before that.
Yeah, he went 15-13-3.
Yeah, under the new manager.
But the 3 was against Arsenal.
Yeah. I
mean, but then he's got Brentford, Leeds, Newcastle, Burnley.
I don't mind it because they've got Nuno there now and he's actually playing out wide again, which is his natural position.
That's 11 mil. Then we got, 11,550. So I've got two trades to do. 11
the problem
million
is Bowen's break even is 16.
That's what I mean. Shit.
So you wait 1 week and bring him in before Leeds, surely.
I freaking hate this game, man. All right, let's see who the low break even dudes are for the cash grabs. Okay, so we will go. Where are you, you bastards? Supercoach Plus. Everyone loves a good Supercoach Plus. Okay, so Sean Longstaff, negative 16 break even, yay or nay? $9 million. No. Here's okay. He's gonna go shit this week, but I He's going
to I don't mind what you're about to say, yeah.
Well, I've already mentioned him previously, and then he scored, and that was Benjamin Sesko.
I don't mind it in the same vein of what I did last week with Igor Tiago.
I feel like I need to follow my own advice here.
You wouldn't field him this week.
Nah, not against Liverpool.
But you'd take the one price rise.
You could, but I'd ride it out. I'd ride out the two games after.
Brighton, Notting, yeah, and field him against in those games.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, okay. So there's the first one. So we've got our first dude. So we're going to fade Semenyo. All good. Midfield, let's see, because I need to get some cash dollar. So we're saying no to Mason Mount. I've already got Santiago Bueno. Gabriel I could get, but then it would not leave much for my midfield position that I need to fill. We could go... Oh, shit, is Arias actually playing good now? Oh, my guy from preseason.
I would not be touching that.
We've got Sunderland, Burnley and Fulham. Sunderland, Burnley, and Fulham. He's 5 mil. Ooh.
It's a no for me.
I'm going to so be pissed off if he scores and assists and whatnot. Okay.
Do you have any Newcastle defenders? Because they're looking like a really good defense.
No, I do not. I could get Shah.
Yeah, so Shah's got a negative break even.
Yeah.
A little bit of a goal threat as well. Not that he's scored yet this season, I don't think.
And then it leaves me with 8 million and 10,000 for a midfielder.
8 million?
Yeah.
And you get Xavi Simmons.
That leaves me with 2,330,000 left over to play with in the following week.
Yeah, and then you can look at someone, anyone.
Okay, I don't mind that at all. And my projected just went up. Thank you. I better quickly sub on Simmons for Grealish.
See, as I said before, I don't mind Van Heek as a cash grab for people. On your bench, you wouldn't field him this week.
Yeah. So we'll go through the We'll go through the VCs and Cs. So the first game we've actually got, Paddo, is Nottingham Forest versus Chelsea game at 10:30 PM on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about João Pedro, and honestly, I feel like if you got Chelsea assets, you got to fucking use them in this one.
So it's really hard because it just depends with the time difference. Like, I'm going to be watching that game. I'm a Chelsea fan, so I can VC in this game and then still target someone from the 1 AM games, which is Erling Haaland. But, you know, if people are actually sleeping on Saturday night, then you're targeting someone from Monday or Tuesday games. But I certainly don't hate a João Pedro VC coming off a rest. I don't mind a Moises Caicedo VC as well. He's been a defensive contribution monster this season. Hasn't dropped below 6 all season and has had 4 double-digit hauls as well. He's actually scored a couple of times as well, which is kind of crazy for the best midfielder in the Premier League. But it doesn't feel like a fun VC by going with Caicedo. It might also depend on your the players that aren't playing. Like, I've got those two Everton assets that I can use as a loophole, but they play in that second time slot at 1 AM on Sunday, so I have to target this game.
Yeah, I'm in the boat of I've got no Nottingham Forest, no Chelsea assets. My VC loop option is Trafford from Man City.
You've got to just jump on a C.
Straight C is going to end up being Haaland, I reckon.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that, honestly, against Everton. They're going to be a little bit weaker as well without those midfield guys. The interesting thing, though, Haaland's last game against Everton at the Etihad was a negative one.
Fucking hell. Okay. So we'll go to the other 1 AM games just so then people understand. So we've got Brighton versus Newcastle. I again, don't mind Walter Maid. I fucking love that dude.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton have Dunk, who is quite tall as a defender, so it might sort of help combat that aerial threat that Voltimata has, but I don't love that game for a VC. So, like, Brighton are a really weird team. They're very up and down, and Newcastle have not been scoring, so I wouldn't be touching that game.
Burnley versus Leeds is just a roulette.
Yeah, I mean, same time as some really good options, but DCL, Calvert-Lewin, as a VC, isn't a horrible option against Burnley.
What about Jaden Anthony?
Maybe. It might depend on which way you think this game will go, but
Josh Cullen. I'm leaning more towards Burnley, obviously.
Yeah, I just feel like Leeds win that game, so it's Calvert-Lewin.
No, fair enough. Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth could be anything.
Yeah, I don't know which way this game's going to go. Both teams are in really good form. Both top six as well, which is crazy for such small clubs. But, yeah, I think it'll be a good game, but I wouldn't be looking at a VC or C, even though Semenyo's in insane form. I wouldn't be touching it.
We've already gone over Man City, Everton. So we'll go to Sunderland versus the Wolves at the Stadium of Light. And do you reckon it could end up being a nil-all draw? I would fucking love that because I got Mukiel and Bueno against each other.
It could be nil-all. It could also be 5-3. I actually have no idea.
Fucking hell.
So Stack might be a decent option. He's been quite good this season in the Prem after a really good season in the Championship last season.
Isn't he Leeds?
Yeah, he is too. Sorry.
Fucking hell. The old Stack daddy. Oh, there you go. You've said Stack against Burnley. Yeah, okay. Sure. Cool. So if you can be bothered going for the 3:30 a.m. game and you've done your VC, you could potentially do a C or even a VC in the Fulham versus Arsenal game. Yeah, look, any Arsenal defender will be good. I hope Calafiori does what he did in game of the week one and two myself. But
yeah, Arsenal are a weird team because I don't really have out-and-out strikers that are scoring most of their points. So you want to target a VCC off the good teams, but it's defenders that are the money makers with Arsenal. So, yeah, I don't mind Gabriel as a probably a VC. It might be a safe C, but Fulham seem to just score most weeks, but they lose.
Then we got Monday at 12, like midnight. We got Tottenham versus Aston Villa. This could literally be 3-1 either way, in my opinion, Paddo.
Yeah, it could be. Tottenham have been pretty good this season, much as it pains me to say.
Aston Villa are the most bipolar team in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which one's going to turn up? Who actually knows?
Yeah, the one that can beat freaking Liverpool 7-2 or the one that loses to teams that are looking at relegation. So,
yeah,
don't know. Yeah, don't know.
Mo Salah's going to be so cheap soon.
I know, he's going to be under 10 mil.
Ooh. He's already 10 mil. He's 9 mil.
Oh, there you go. Well,
with a break-even of 19.
Even I want to turn the what you called a Voltamade, if that is how you pronounce his name, fucking sick it. I like him even more.
Voltamade, yeah.
Into Mo Salah. That's the aim.
Yeah.
I could end up turning Sesko into fucking Mo Salah.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Yeah, Salah has to fucking do something. There's just too much going on there.
Yeah, they've also kind of changed the way they played as well. Salah's playing more wide.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that in the first game week when I had my FPL team and I traded him out after 1 week.
Yeah.
Even though he scored, I was like, nah, don't like this at all.
Imagine if Wirtz comes good.
If he ever does.
It's 4.9 mil.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
No, but I like Salah as a captaincy option. Man United have always seemed to concede against Mo Salah. So,
and you know what sucks? You know what sucks? The fact that I picked Bruno Fernandes because he's on pens, and now I'm actually worried about him being on pens.
Oh, because he's missed two.
Yeah, he's fucked up my scores like for two games.
You're penalised so bad for it as well.
Yeah, I know. He got a negative. He was looking at double digits, and he ended up on. He's got a fucking break even of 19 too. He got a negative two.
Yeah.
And a one.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those missed pens. But then his other scoring is like 10, 16, 18. So, yeah, scary. Last one, West Ham versus Brentford.
Is Thiago a bad option here?
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't straight see the dude.
Well, he's not playing in the last game, so you can't. Well, you can VC him, I guess. But,
but yeah, me personally, I wouldn't straight see that dude. The only one in that is my boy from West Ham. So that's about it for me.
Bowen.
Yeah, my boy.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I'll quickly look at the leagues that we got, Paddo, which you set up for everyone. So in the SCCC normal overall rank one, no surprises, Paddo's number one. Oh, no, it's just getting broken it. It's frozen.
Getting a bit of separation there as well. I'm 96 ahead.
Yep, 96 ahead indeed. That's a whole fucking round. And then Dylan's team, Manu Magic, is ranked 392. And then
wow, look at my Sorry, I'm just gloating a little bit here. Look at my team value compared to everyone else.
You know what's funny? In the top 10 overall, the team value, one, like, I think the guy in third has 112 mil. Like, everyone's fluctuates so much.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll go to the Supercoach Co-Captains Head-to-Head League. Again, Pato's on top with 21 points. Lawrence is in second with his team's Loz's Top Guns on 15 points. Supercoach Shah is in third on 12 points. And then rounding out the top four is Dylan's Mainu Magic on 9 points. Then we go to Supercoach Co-Captains 2 League. And we have Pato on top, equal top, mind you. He's up on point difference, 15 points. Owen's team, Ozar, also on 15 points. Big point difference there. It's 112-point difference between the two. And then third place is Lincoln's team, Eze Lover, on 12
points. Sorry, quickly, I want to interrupt you there. Our Supercoach Co-Captains 2 League is the number one ranked league.
Yeah, true. It is too. There we go. And funnily enough, it's the one I'm performing better in. wouldn't you know? So, yeah, so we got the number one ranked league. Yep, fucking good on yous. I think I was up to, Lincoln's team, Eze Lover, on 12 points, and then running out the top four, Shane's team, Killer Bees, on 12 points as well. What was our Supercoach head-to-head one? Oh, league ranking of third. 3.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There mustn't be too many leagues in there. Oh, no. I'm in another one that's all ranked equal third.
And I'm in another one that's fourth. Are you in that one as well, the Sick Kent CPL?
Yeah, yeah, you are. I'm in that one. Yeah, right down the bottom. Yep, good, thanks.
Right down the bottom.
No, I actually don't know where I am. Where the fuck? Oh, no, I'm ranked eighth.
Eighth.
Yeah, eighth. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm down the bottom in every fucking every league. Fucking, at least I'm in a Supercoach cashy league and I beat Duncan's team, King of the Hill, by 1 point. That was my... Yeah, I'm actually third in that one on equal amount of league points as top and second. So it says a lot about that league right now. Because all the other ones I'm doing shizen in. Yeah. All right, Pato, where can people find you?
I am on X at PATOSCCC. I'm a little bit off and on with posting at the moment. When I think of things, I do post things. At the moment, I'm just looking at AFL trade stuff, which is getting kind of juicy. But yeah, every now and then I will drop some sort of EPL stuff. NBL is happening at the moment, even though that fucking beat the coach thing is fucking whack. And yeah, Supercoach team picker really won't be that far away, and it should be open in a couple of months. So then AFL stuff will start getting into it. So yeah, I try and find time to post about thoughts, but sometimes it's after lockout, so I apologize for that. But yeah, busy at the moment.
It's a rolling lockout for Supercoach, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking of FPL. How are you going in FPL, by the way?
Oh, I'm back out to like 2 mil or something.
Yeah, no, I'm worse than that.
I used my free hit and I scored 30-something.
Yeah, I should use a free hit at anything. So you can find me at DANEOSCCC. You can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. So yeah, I can actually do the normal sign-off for a change, Pato. This is going to be fun. Fucking hell, it's been awkward alone. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
That felt right, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.